I'm grateful that the church has us end the liturgical year, this particular liturgical year, with this reading, because I look at the Good Thief very differently after this year, after a particular day. It is the absolute worst day that I've had as a priest. It was actually the day after Father Conway passed away. I'd spent that day on the phone with the Archbishop, visiting with Father's family and sharing what had happened with them. And I was so tired that I just went to my parents that night to sleep. Didn't bring anything with me. Borrowed my brother's pajamas, I think. And had to get up early because I had a funeral the next day. So I go back to my rectory, and in the midst of getting ready, in the middle of shaving, and my phone rings, and I look, and it's my secretary. The offices weren't open yet. So I answer the phone, and she says, "How are you doing, Father?" I decided to be honest. I said, "Not very good." I said, "I lost a very good friend yesterday." And she's quiet. And she goes, "I'm sorry to say this then, Father. We've had a death in the parish, and they need you." He was a 40-something-year-old man who just didn't wake up. And so I said, "Okay." And I hung up the phone, and I looked in the mirror, and I went, I can't do this. Jesus, I don't know what to do. I went everything from like, I'm dealing with my own stuff right now, bigger things, all the way down to the practical. I've got 2 hours till this funeral starts. I need to be present to this family. Lord, how is this going to work? That was the only time, the only moment in almost 10 years of priesthood where I just had utterly no sense of what came next and felt totally powerless to make anything happen. And it was just, Jesus, I don't know what to do. I don't want to be in this situation right now. And I want to tell you that as I'm standing there staring at myself half-shaved, that I heard a voice, the sky tore open, and I had a vision, but I didn't. Jesus answered that prayer. Somehow, in a way that still mystifies me, gave me the grace to put one foot in front of the other. I finished shaving first. But then, to be there. To be there with this widow and her children. To be present at the funeral. To attend to my own grief. And I still don't know how he answered that prayer. But he did. That day has changed how I see the kingship of Christ. Because here, in the reading that we have as our gospel, we see how it is that our King chooses to reign. And we have probably experienced inner voices that sound just like the ones that we hear at the beginning of the reading. If he's the chosen one, why am I going through this? I know the stories of Scripture. I know the stories of the saints. Why am I not experiencing what they had? Maybe we say, Lord, if you're the King, like, why is everything out of order? Aren't you supposed to be victorious? And it's the Good Thief. We sanitize this exchange so much. But what he does in just a few words that is reflective of the pivot of his heart is so powerful. Because remember that crucifixion does not execute someone by bleeding them out. It suffocates them. They have to expend energy to push up, to get in a breath. And so any attempt at speaking costs everything, is ragged, is forced out. And this man, with those ragged, difficult breaths, owns up to what he's done wrong. We've been justly condemned. But more importantly, doesn't remain in that condemnation, but pivots to our Lord. It speaks to him. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. That word, remember, should be powerful for us as people of the new covenant. Because that word, remember, is a covenantal word. For the Jews, they remembered the Passover. And as the word is rendered in Greek, it isn't a memory like we think of it as, oh, that happened in the past and it's not present to me. It is a remembering that is so powerful that we are part of the thing we are remembering. So for the Jews, mysteriously, they were part of the Exodus being led out of Egypt. Jesus fulfills this. Do this in remembrance of me. We're not remembering something he did for us. Isn't that nice? We are there. We are entering into his passion, death, and resurrection. But now we see beautifully the other side. The thief is asking that Jesus would remember him. Make me present to you, Lord. He doesn't know what the answer is. He doesn't know what his kingdom looks like. In the midst of this violent execution, this is almost ridiculous to say. And yet in that ragged one line, this man's heart is turned to Jesus as the answer. This is easily the hardest thing of being priest, and particularly a pastor. All of you have had moments like the one I began the homily with. Jesus, I don't know what comes next. I don't know how to do this. And I wish that as a priest, as a pastor, I could tell you, okay, so here are the 10 easy steps that you follow to get out of those moments. Here are the answers, but even our Lord himself doesn't give that. Instead, he gives himself. We struggle in seeing the darkness, the brutality, suffering, the sin. To go, how in the world could God reign in that? And yet God's answer is, I will make that my throne. Which is what he does in the cross. And so all I can do is point you to the gift that Scripture gives us of the good thief, because he is our example in those moments. Jesus, remember me. We don't know how he will answer. And even when he does answer, we don't know what that answer is going to look like. What does it mean, today you will be with me in paradise? But we have him. And actually, even more profoundly than the good thief, we have Jesus in the Eucharist. We don't have to wait for paradise. God comes that close. Jesus, remember me. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus says. So as we come to him in the Eucharist today, likely all of us are bringing some sort of darkened throne it's empty, that we go, I don't know if or how Jesus will reign here. This is our chance to be like the good thief. Remember me, Jesus. To extend ourselves in faith to him. And to give ourselves permission that it is okay if it is ragged, if it's confused and uncertain. He just wants us to be there with him. I said, Jesus answered that prayer that I whispered to him, broken and half shaved. And I still don't know how he did it. This is what grace is. And so it is being open to being surprised by the subtlety, the invisibility, the hiddenness of God's answer, the hiddenness of his reign. But it is no less real, no less powerful, because it is hidden. So as we come before the mystery of his love in the Eucharist, invite him to the throne of your heart. Whether that throne looks like a glorious one or looks like the cross, he has already shown us he is not afraid to be there and wants to be there. May we experience his joy of meeting us precisely where our hearts are at.